Welcome to Canadian Politique. I'm Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. Just kidding.
I'm Beto O'Rourke.
And you are who, Mike?
I'll be the Big Mac that Donald Trump gave the Clemson football team.
Okay, good.
The hamburger.
Yeah, no,
The hamburger.
The hamburger and the covfefe. Welcome to Canadian Politique. I'm Cameron Bishop.
I'm Leanne Goodman.
I'm Mike McDougall.
And today on the pod, this is our 31st show. Happy New Year, everybody, 2019. And we are going to be talking about the yesterday's cabinet shuffle, also known as Jody Wilson-Raybould's No Good, Horrible, Terrible, Very Bad Day, the race for the Democratic presidential nomination south of the border, and what the hell is going on with Jagmeet Singh, who apparently is the only man in Canada who neither watches TV or opens a newspaper despite leading a federal party. But let's first, Leanne, you are on the mend from Operation Foot.
Yes, foot surgery. Really fun. Don't ignore a sports injury. That's all I have to say.
So what did they do?
Use
a drill?
Come back to haunt you. Oh, my God. It was under a local, and there were power tools, and my leg was vibrating, and I could feel the tourniquet, and they were yanking my foot all around, and I kind of wish it wasn't under a local, but, you know, I'm on the mend. I have fake cartilage now in my foot.
Oh.
And I'm going to have to do the other foot at some point, but this one was the worst, and I was really, really high on Percocet for a few days, as you guys, I believe I have some vague memory of brawling with you and or loving you both with in equal measures of ferocity.
I have all the text messages.
Yes,
they were pretty good.
There was a lot of anger about Congresswoman Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez,
who right.
might be the most overrated politician right now south of the border at the age of 29. But she does know how to tweet, and I know that Leanne's a big fan of hers, so we'll just I don't want to stoke the rage again, Leanne.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Good. Let's talk about yesterday's.
I love how Leanne wouldn't do it.
She wouldn't even bite. She did not even bite. Take a perk. And
no. We'll be talking about her later.
All right.
We're going to talk about her later in the show when I am preparing to line up my line of fire and shoot you out of the sky.
Okay,
Mr. Bishop.
Good. Well, then, let's talk about yesterday's shitty cabinet shuffle, because it was a really shitty cabinet shuffle. Anybody that actually tuned in to see these ministers rolling up to Rideau Hall had to be left, if you love politics, pretty disappointed. I mean, shuffles are normally pretty fun to behold, but the misery was etched on our now former Justice Minister's face, who's now our Veterans Affairs Minister, after she was demoted from her perch as Justice Minister and Attorney General for Canada down to Veterans Affairs. Jane Philpott moves over from Indigenous Services, a post that she's held only for 18 months, but done a lot of great things in, over to the Treasury Board Secretariat. First Treasury Board president that is actually a female since Lucienne Robillard in 2003. Backbencher David Lametti becomes Justice Minister. Bernadette Jordan, you'll be forgiven if you also ask, who the hell is Bernadette Jordan? Because I could not find her, if my life depended on it, until yesterday. She is now this rural economic development minister, whatever the hell that means. And, of course, Wilson-Raybould is at Veterans Affairs. So does anybody have any... Well, can I just say one thing about Seamus O'Regan, who's taken over Jane Philpott's role at Indigenous Services? The guy stepped in shit all over the place when he was Veterans Affairs minister, and he gets a fucking promotion. And Jody Wilson-Raybould gets demoted down to Veterans Affairs. And before anybody dumps on me for saying that it's a demotion, everybody knows it's a second-tier ministry. It has nothing to do with the people that it represents or assists. But come on. The guy gets this massive promotion and she gets the shit end of the stick.
Can anyone really explain to me? I've yet to really understand what it was she did, why she gets demoted. Like, I heard that she maybe wasn't the easiest person to work with, and there's a lot of staff turnaround, but what? And I know there's been some things on the pipeline file that she's had to backtrack about on the pipelines in the West and the protests and the RCMP standoffs and all that kind of stuff. But was there anything major? Like, I just missed, I guess, did I miss something?
I think we all missed something. Like, I what's that line from Christmas Vacation when Clark's like, I would have been less surprised if I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet. Like, nobody believed that Jodie Wilson-Raybould was in any danger of being shuffled. But apparently the rumor mill is churning out here in Ottawa, and it says that she has basically had a bad attitude. That she could not really be controlled by the folks in PMO, that there were these tensions. Then she writes, this 5-page statement on her website last night. And she says, commenting about her tenure as Minister of Justice, which, first of all, is completely unprecedented. I don't think I've ever seen a minister who remained in cabinet who's pretending for the media, along with the prime minister, that she wasn't demoted, then going the extra mile of saying that she will not be commenting about her new position, but then going on to comment on it in 5 pages. And she says stuff like, in our system, decisions regarding the appointment of cabinet ministers are the prerogative of the prime minister. Then she says, there is very little, if anything, in my mandate letter we have not done or is not well underway to completing. And we have also achieved much beyond it. She then goes on and makes kind of some weird reference to, this work goes on and I remain dedicated to it, whatever public or private roles I may play. And then she kind of goes on about speaking truth to power, because as the Attorney General, that's supposed to be a more nonpartisan, transparent role for Canadians, regardless of party. So, read the tea leaves. She's not a happy lady. She looked like she was passing a kidney stone yesterday at Rideau Hall. And then, for all of them to trot out to the media after, and they're saying all this crap that, this is just about Jodie being such an excellent fit for Veterans Affairs.
Veterans Affairs, like, why?
Come on.
I just wonder if there's another story. Like, I just wonder if there's something we don't know.
Of course there's another story.
Gonna get, right? There's got to be. There's something going to come out that she's done something, or she's fucked something up, or... who knows?
They should have either kept her in her old job or gotten rid of her.
I think she's going to leave anyway. I really think she might. Yeah.
Don't put her on the back bench if you don't want her to be a minister, or keep her in her job. Right. Like, those are the two things. The biggest disappointment for me in this whole thing was Philpott leaving Indigenous Affairs. I thought that, especially with what's going on now, Trudeau's not looking too good right now out west with how he's handling some protests. I think having a strong, she's the best minister they have. I mean, before Christmas, our very last episode, we talked about, who our favorite ministers were, and Freeland's name came up. But after I saw her do that stupid airport thing with the Saudi teenager, where she's like, we're not going to take questions right now, everybody's really tired. It's like, why are you escorting this kid out of Toronto Pearson Airport, by the way? Ever since that, I was like,
It was an FU to Saudi Arabia, I thought. I didn't mind that.
Yeah, well, Philpott's the best minister.
Yeah, well, Philpott, Goodale, and Freeland are probably the top three. But, she gets Treasury Board, which, she's got to make sure that all of these funding for everything from infrastructure to the fiscal situation, everything in terms of support for every program of government, infrastructure as well, that it has to roll out, and it has to roll out quickly. But can we talk about this stupid idea that a rural economic development minister in Bernadette Jordan, I'm sure she's a very nice lady. She took over, by the way, for Scott Bryson, who has resigned from cabinet. I always felt, by the way, with no disrespect to Scott Bryson, I've always kind of felt that he was a bit of an interloper. I know he's been part of the Liberal caucus for like 15 years, but every time I see him, I still remember him being this scrappy opposition politician. And he's never kind of fit to me, but I guess, who the hell am I? I'm just some old liberal that nobody listens to, but you two and all the listeners here on the pod. But I was going to say, there is an article in the CBC today, by Eric Grenier, and it said something about why the Liberals can't afford to ignore rural Canada, and makes this, I understand the argument that they needed a kind of a rural economic development minister to kind of buttress their hold on some elements of rural Canada, because right now they hold 54 seats. And of course, the Conservatives will be looking to pick those ones off. And a lot of those seats, I think 24 of them, are located in Atlantic Canada. But I can't understand how they think having a minister, that some rural Canadian voter is going to be like, that Bernadette Jordan, boy, I never heard her name before today, but by God, I'm going to vote Liberal. Come on. Like, it's just, it smacks of cynicism and stupidity. Anybody have any comment on that, or what am I just ranting today?
I mean, I'm from Atlantic Canada. You know, they vote conservative federally, and that's what they do. And I mean, I'm from Peter McKay's old riding, and Peter McKay could have literally just murdered people in the streets and they still would have voted for him. I remember the hilarious election where not Theresa May. Oh my God, I have Brexit on my mind.
Oh my God, you've got Theresa May on the brain.
I got Theresa because I'm watching Brexit on TV.
Elizabeth, I know, it's crazy.
Where our friendly politician Elizabeth decided to run against Peter McKay in our riding, and she got just smoked. Right. Like, it was hilarious. They vote conservative.
So except in the last election, the Liberals swept. They have hold all the Atlantic Canada seats, but they've held. I mean, that was basically what saved them from oblivion in 2011, right? Like they held Atlantic Canada seats, and that's also, they probably did vote more conservative years ago, before Stephen Harper said that Atlantic Canadians were basically freeloaders out to, like, you know, shit.
They're going to go conservative in the next election.
You think?
I do. They're all mad about Alberta because, remember, all those Alberta workers out there that are protesting Trudeau's not doing, they're all from Atlantic Canada.
Right. Great. Well, Prime Minister Scheer, folks, but yeah, I don't think a rural development or a rural economic development minister is actually going to do all that much. And I would also say, too, that all of the economic development agencies of government are under Nav Bains at Innovation, Science and Technology. So you've basically created a position without an actual ministry. So unless they're going to move those rural development agencies like Western Economic Diversification and ECOA and all of these other things over into this new portfolio. Yeah. Not sure it's really worth the trouble, but Jody Wilson-Raybould, boy, she sure looked, I'm not a woman, Leanne, but I got to ask you, does it somehow make you realize that Seamus O'Regan, who shits a bed in his portfolio, winds up promoted and a qualified woman is downgraded into a second tier ministry?
Well, if there was no reason for it, then sure, it would bug me. But I've got to believe that there was something that we don't know about.
But what qualifies, you know what I mean? As why? Like, I mean, is it enough to say that, okay, so she was difficult to get along with? Well, what, you know, like,
well,
why?
Who knows? I don't know what it is.
No, I'm saying that's like the rumor, right? That's being circulated is that she
I
is.
I would find that very sexist if that's the only thing that it is. Well, she's tough to get along with because, you know, how many male politicians can be difficult to get along with? But I just have to think that there is something that we're not hearing and that we don't know about yet.
Well, I say that the clock is ticking.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think the clock's ticking on her. I would not be surprised. She was just nominated for re-election in 2019, 2 days ago. For her Vancouver Grenville, I think is her riding. I would not be surprised if she bolts before then, if she really thinks that she'll get reelected and maybe not actually find a place in cabinet at all, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, the good news though, if you're an Indigenous protester out West, the new Indigenous services minister has the most colonial name I've ever heard in my life, which is just, you know, awesome.
Oh, you know what's funny about Seamus O'Regan? Somebody said that
Seamus O'Regan,
somebody said that he feels that he has a connection to Indigenous peoples because he grew up in Labrador.
Mm. Okay. Let me tell you something about that guy.
Okay.
I once sat next to him at a party.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that this was a slur. This was 10 or so years ago. I maybe called him a noof. I said, well, the noof like it, something like that. He fucking lost his shit at me and told me how racist it was. Then, I had no idea.
Were you on perks when this happened?
I meant it sort of affectionately. Like, it was a positive comment. Like, you know, I love going to Newfoundland and I love the Newfs. And he was like, you know, lost his shit at me. And then when I was actually in Newfoundland visiting again, I mentioned that to somebody on the west coast of Newfoundland, like in Rocky Harbor. And they're like, what bullshit? It's not a racist slur, and that's typical of a St. John's person.
I have many friends from Newfoundland, like being from the East Coast, and like none of them, I think, would get offended if I called them a noof or a noofie.
Noofie I get because of noofie jokes, that I get, but I said noof. So it just made me think the guy, like, so maybe that explains, he's actually going to suggest that he has some sort of affinity towards Native Canadians, Indigenous people, because... Yeah. he's a Newfoundlander. Like, I don't know. That's
because he grew up in Labrador. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, yeah, you really know what indigenous peoples have gone through. Come on. I thought that before we shift topics here to Jugmeet here, I thought it was a very... There was something picturesque and metaphorical about the fact that when O'Regan came out yesterday after the shuffle and he goes to take a sip of water from the glass that was by the podium, it was frozen solid. Like, you can't even drink a water glass, right? But anyway, nice guy, nice hair though. Just not a very good minister for now, but maybe he'll rise to the occasion. All he has to do is not fuck up what Minister Philpott has put in motion, because she has really laid a good pathway for him. So let's talk now about somebody else that's a complete embarrassment, and that would be Jugmeet Singh. So everybody apparently in Canada is well aware that in December, the CFO of Huawei, Meng Wanzhou, was arrested in Canada, and she is awaiting extradition to the United States to face charges of violating sanctions on Iran. She has been released on, I think, $7.5 million in bail, and she can't leave Vancouver right now. Apparently, though, the news stops. Nobody gets any news out in Burnaby or wherever the hell it is that Jugmeet Singh finds himself lately. There has been all sorts of commentary about this arrest. The Chinese government has had their spokesperson, the ambassador of China to Canada, Liu Xie, call us basically white supremacists. We have seen 13 Canadians detained in China since the arrest happened. 8 have been released. We've got another Canadian that was just sentenced the other day to to death for drug trafficking. Luckily, he has an appeal, and I'm certain that the fair Chinese courts that have no government interference whatsoever will grant him an appeal, and he will get off scot-free. But into this muck steps Jugmeet Singh, who apparently can't be bothered to be briefed either by his staff, or his staff doesn't bother to brief him because they're trying to...
Or doesn't even have staff.
This doesn't even have staff. And what does he do? He goes That's on Evan Solomon's think. Show, and Evan now asks him about the comments by the Chinese ambassador, and Singh says, wait, what? What? Who accused who of white supremacy? I mean, come on, man. You want to be a federal party leader and be prime minister? What the fuck, man? Like, that cannot do him very well in Burnaby South.
Well, okay, we've all been in a situation, probably all of us on this pod at the moment, where you have found yourself on the hot seat being asked about something or for an opinion on something, and you honestly have no clue what that person is talking about. Like, I kind of felt for him when I watched it. It's like, fuck, I've been there. I think I've been there on the podcast. Like, oh no. But, you know, in our situation, you can quickly look at your phone or look something up. But there he is under the glare of the lights. I kind of felt for him. And I honestly just don't think, like, from everything I'm hearing, that party is completely bankrupt. Like, there is no money and no staff. And I just don't think he even has somebody who's giving him media guidance or who's telling him what's what. I don't think there is anybody.
Well, they just took out a mortgage on their building, didn't they?
$12 million mortgage.
$12 million mortgage, yeah.
And Rob Silver, who's a commentator on CBC and is the husband of Trudeau Chief of Staff Katie Telford, he calculated, he said, if I'm doing my math right, that means that 15 cents of every dollar the NDP receives from donors would now go to interest on their loan. And the crazy thing is I believe that entire building was paid off at one point. Like, they are completely and totally fucking broke. And it doesn't help when you've got Jugmeet Singh not ready for prime time. I mean, you know, okay. You know, people dump on Trudeau for the Bollywood dancing, but nobody ever hits Singh as they should for the endless series of bro videos he was cutting on Instagram instead of actually boning up on the country he, I think, wants to lead. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, the difference though between Trudeau and Singh is Trudeau is actually an elected official.
True. I mean, Singh was though.
I know. Well, I think with Jagmeet Singh, I'm so disappointed because historically I have supported the NDP, and he's such an empty suit. He's such a bad leader, and I don't support him for reasons. I think when he came on too, I was so excited. I wanted to believe in Jagmeet Singh because when he came on, I was like, man, this guy looks like a leader. And then, like, I know we like to say politicians don't have a lot of brains. I mean, we say that about your favorite family, Cameron, the Bush family. We say that about, you know, conservatives say it about Trudeau. We say it about everybody. But Jagmeet Singh, like, he really doesn't seem like he's all that bright.
No,
it's weird.
No. It's true.
No, he just,
looks,
I mean,
good, though.
Did you, hey, Mike, when Jagmeet came on, did you apply for that Eat with Jagmeet or the Jagmeet and Greet contest that they launched? I think that.
Well, yeah. The brand is strong, right? Eat with Jagmeet. But no, I didn't.
Oh, that's a pity. It really is. And then let's also layer on old Tom Mulcair, who was had the misfortune after almost being obliterated in the 2015 election, going from official opposition leader to leader of a rump in the House of Commons. He's been pissing all over the leader of the, or his successor rather. Of course, Mulcair was the one who lost a confidence motion at the subsequent NDP, biennial convention or convention that followed the election. And he's been shitting all over Jagmeet Singh as well, which raises the question, I wonder if there is some folks that are still loyal to Tom Mulcair who are trying to push Jagmeet out before the 2019 election. And I mean, it's risen to such a pitch that there's actually Singh, I think it was this past week or maybe the week before. I don't know. It seems to have kind of blended together. But he's vowing now that even if he loses the Burnaby South by-election on February 25th, he will still be the leader that takes the New Democratic Party into the 2019 election. And there has been comments that Tom Mulcair may come back to lead the party once again in 2019 should Jagmeet fail. So I don't know. Maybe we've got some momentum.
Cameron, could the NDP even could the NDP afford to rent the venue to have a leadership convention?
I don't know. There's empty fields places. I mean, I suppose that they could just go to a park.
I can offer up my dining room.
I mean, what's
I've
that?
I've got a nice third floor loft.
Oh, nice. See, this is the kind of poshness that our listeners can expect from Leanne. I can just imagine you sitting in like this beautiful loft that's designer, but it might be too ritzy for the NDP. But I don't
it's
think
not
they can.
Really. That party's in a really serious situation, and I don't know what happens now. I really don't. I mean, I guess wasn't the Liberal Party when they got demolished and had only how many seats didn't they rebuild? I guess they're facing a serious period of rebuilding. But man, this guy is not the guy to do it. I think he's done.
I would be willing to run for the NDP leadership. But
you should. But why don't you?
Well, shit, apparently anybody can do it. And I think I'm better briefed than Jagmeet Singh. And
your Bush comments will come back to haunt you.
I hope they do, because I'd like to be the one to defend what a great president 43 was. And now let's shift into our discussion about U.S. politics. You know somebody who would make a lousy president?
Donald Trump.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That was for you.
She's too young to be president.
Yes, she is. She is 29 years old. But no, that is not who would make a lousy president. In fact, the one who would make a lousy president is the son of a bitch that's in the office right now, who, in response to Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat from Massachusetts, announcing her exploratory committee for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination, she did a video, an Instagram video. Actually, sorry, she did a video, and then there was an Instagram video that she did, prompting Donald Trump to say, "If Elizabeth Warren often referred to me by me as Pocahontas, did this commercial from Bighorn or Wounded Knee instead of her kitchen with her husband dressed in full Indian garb, it would have been a smash." So some casual racism from the motherfucker in chief. We're going to handicap some of these presidential candidates real quick. But I do want to say that since the last show, the new Democratic Congress has been sworn in the United States. We have Nancy Pelosi blocking attempts by Trump to build his wall on the southern border. That's been good. And there has been some certain new voices on the left that have risen up. I'm poking fun at Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, but let's just get it out on the table. She is a new congresswoman from the Democrat from New York, New York's 14th congressional district. She dances, she tweets, and she seems to be getting right up the pie holes, cornholes rather, of the Republicans who really don't like this uppity 29-year-old. And I'm saying uppity 29-year-old from their perspective. But I will say, I do think that she's really running the risk. If you aren't following her, please do. But she really is running the risk early on of not having any sort of legislative success and becoming more of a meme generator and an intention getter than actually somebody that's plunking down and working like some of the other folks that were just elected to the 116th Congress. Am I correct?
I disagree. She's a very good story. You can't deny. Yes, she's got a ton of exposure right now. No more than Beto got, I might add. And nobody complained about Beto. And nobody was saying that Beto should sit down and shut up. Okay, maybe you did, but I didn't see it in the mainstream media the way I see the attacks against her. She's 29. She's attractive. And you know what she is most of all that the Democratic Party is in desperate need of? She's a fucking fighter, which the Democrats have always been too polite and too civilized to do. They will not get down in the gutter. This is the reason why, even though he had a pathological obsession with his own dick, this is the reason why I loved Anthony Weiner. He did what most Democrats will not do. He went on Fox News and he owned Megyn Kelly every time he went on there. He was smarter than her. He was just as mean as she was, and he never hesitated to fight. And that is exactly what the Democratic Party needs, especially someone of that generation and from that ethnic background heading into 2020. So I love her. I don't understand the backlash against her. I hate the backlash against her, and I want everybody to do a little bit of cognitive therapy and try to peel back the layers about what is this really about. Why are we having a problem with a 29-year-old woman who's in our face? I don't like it.
Well, Mike, you think that it's not that she's overexposed is so much as she's not picking her battles.
I think that she's a little bit. I'm exhausted reading her fights, and that's great. She is a fighter and I do support her, but I think that, you know, she was on, I forget who, it doesn't matter who she was talking to on the weekend. I just kind of watched her have this little Twitter fight with somebody who kind of compared her correctly. She was correct in her argument. Someone compared her to Trump by being really kind of vile and unprofessional on Twitter. And she correctly was, you know, said like, I'm not the president, but she kept hammering on the guy and she just doesn't pick and choose her battles. That's my I wouldn't even say complaint. My critique of her is, you know, maybe put the phone down for a second. It's my critique, to be honest, of Trump. It's my critique of any politician or public figure that can't stay off social media. I do believe that social media just drags down the discourse. And I think that she'd be, well, we don't know. She's only been a congressperson for like 2 weeks, but she's kind of exhausting.
Why is she being criticized for having no legislative record? She just got elected.
Exactly. I don't agree with that. I'm on your side, Leanne. For most of it, I'm on your side, but I also don't like the whole white knight thing as well. I mean, people are saying don't be overly critical of her because she's young, because she's a woman, because she's a minority, because she just got into Congress. But that's also the excuse people are using to excuse her kind of behavior and how she's kind of attacking everybody. Well, you know, she's young, she's a woman, she's new to Congress. Just kind of like chill out, dude. Like, that's my critique of her, is that it's just exhausting to read her tweets, let alone be her. Imagine just being that offended by everything. I want her to be successful.
Whereas I'm energized.
I want her to be successful.
I'm energized by her. I find her energizing. And a lot of people, friends I have in the United States, find her that way too. She's energizing a group of a demographic of voters too, young voters who don't often go to the polls. So maybe us old people might find her exhausting, but I think a lot of other very critical voting blocks find her energizing, which is exactly what that party needs, right? They need 100 of her. They need to be stirring people up because people get so complacent.
But Leanne, they have Maxine Waters, anti-Maxine Waters.
I'm not saying that none of them, I'm not saying there are none that exist, but I'm saying why would we criticize her for being in that cohort?
Look, I mean, there are other congressmen and women with amazing stories. I mean, the chair of the Democratic Conference is Hakeem Jeffries. He's fantastic, a very progressive voice. Some have said that he'll likely be the first African-American Speaker of the House down the road. Nancy Pelosi is fantastic. There's also the one Rashida, we're impeaching the motherfucker Tlaib, who's a new congresswoman. And I think
that was stupid too, though.
It was stupid. But the thing that I think the danger with some of these new congresswomen and men that come in, congress people, let's just say, that have coming in, they want to make their mark. Sometimes, yes, okay, everybody wants a fighter, but you can't just fight 1,000 little grass fires. Sometimes you have to train your hose on the biggest fire that's going on. And I'm not too sure that this, you know, Ocasio-Cortez or Tlaib and some of these other folks that are clamoring for attention and for a microphone are doing their party any favors as they're trying to tackle some of the corruption issues of the Trump grifting, you know, crime conglomerate down at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And I understand why you would be energized, but there are also other good folks that are in that party that are also new, and she is sucking up the oxygen for them.
Yeah, because she's a better story right now. She unseated a very popular Democratic primary. She had a successful Democratic primary challenge. She's a good story right now. So yes, if she's sucking the oxygen, it's because she's getting interviewed all over the place. She's on talk shows all the time.
Yeah, but she can know when she can know fire. She can she is as enthralled by herself as others are. Let's just be clear. Like
why do you think that?
Because she is, Leanne.
Why does a woman get called? Is she being accused of being vain and conceited? Is that what's going on?
No.
Did Beto get that? Beto's enthralled by himself?
This isn't a conversation about Beto O'Rourke.
Why? What do you base that on?
I base it on the fact that she is on every single...
I know, but what are you basing that on?
Basing what?
Well, that doesn't mean that she's enthralled with herself. That means that she's going and
she likes. She clearly likes the sound of her own voice, and she likes the.
She's a good story.
Sure, Leanne, but
that bothers me.
But Leanne, think about this for a second. Does she not like? Would you not think if you're a new person, she was, and you're right. She is a great story. She won a primary. She was a full time bartender or waitress when she defeated an incumbent, powerful Democratic congressman in a primary. Subsequently, she was elected. That is a fantastic story. She is Latina. She is, I mean, from the Bronx, a very working class background. But let's be clear, the spotlights are very large right now. And sometimes that's a very exciting thing for somebody that has risen from nothing. And so to believe that she doesn't partly go out there. I mean, there's being a fighter, and then there's going out there because she kind of likes the attention. And I think that that's part of the conversation, I think, that we're trying to kind of get at. There's nothing wrong with what she's doing, but a little moderation would help.
I find the suggestion to be really sexist. I think that's a sexist thing to say. She likes the attention. You don't hear that about men. Why? Because she's agreeing to be interviewed because she knows she's a good story. She is a good story.
But Rashida Tlaib,
why do women get slapped with that shit?
I'm not.
Why and why some progressive men? You should know better.
But Leanne, I'm not slamming her because she's a woman.
You're
there
saying
are other
she's
women.
Vain.
But I would say the same thing about Bernie Sanders.
The sound of her own voice.
Bernie Sanders is a classic example of somebody who is vain and who doesn't know when to turn away from the cameras. He when the president gave his border wall speech last week and Chuck and Nancy responded, Bernie Sanders felt the need to go out and do his own response to both of their speeches. I think that he's as much of an attention hog, but at least you can at least say the man ran for president before. He's almost 80 years old. He's been around for a little while, but they're both they're the same side of the coin. It's just one is newer than the other. And I think that there's a danger inherent.
And a more interesting story than the other. Right.
Okay.
Like we've heard 1,000, read 100,000 stories about Bernie Sanders. We know all about Bernie Sanders.
Well, Yes, we do.
Right?
I will give you this. I don't dislike her as much as I...
been around for 4 weeks. She's being shit on for being vain and too much in people's faces and an attention hog. And, like, women always get slapped with this stuff, and I hate it.
But I'm not...
Love and champion her. She's a progressive... She believes in all of the things that you believe in.
I know.
And she's out there with a megaphone.
Leanne, I'm not disagreeing. Have you ever heard me say anything about, I mean, I am consistently on this pod talking about how we need more women in positions of power.
I know, that's why I find it weird. That's why I don't understand where it's coming from. We were messaging each other earlier this week, and you were saying things that I did not think I'd ever hear you say. She should shut up and sit down. She's talking too
much. But I don't mean like that she should shut up and sit down because she's a woman. I think that what Mike has said is absolutely right. I think that there's a time and a place to pick your battles, and maybe 4 weeks into a new Congress when there are other things going on and investigations happening, it isn't up to you to go out and try and fight every battle that's out there, especially when you are and have been of late accused of not necessarily having a full grasp of some of the facts that you're out there talking about. And so I think it's great. I'd love to see her as Speaker of the House. I'd love to see her as president in due course. But there are other good stories that are in that Congress, too. There is a former Somalian refugee who is the first congresswoman. You hear hardly anything about her. Rashida Tlaib, despite the fact she made that stupid comment about impeach the motherfucker, she's another one. She's a Palestinian woman.
I thought it was a great comment, by the way.
Yeah, actually, I thought at first it was a little bit attention grabbing, but then I thought, you know what? Good for her, because I was worried that it would
actually... Fuck can't you say impeach the motherfucker when you live there all the time? Like, why is that not good?
No, but I got...
Can we at least agree that the best person in the last 2 weeks has been Kim Campbell? Oh,
yeah. Newsweek. I love that Newsweek interviews the convicted felon.
Yeah, Dean Del Mastro.
Scolds her. Fucker. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
And again, there again, the woman gets fucking shit on for nothing. Anyway,
I am not shitting on it. I am not shitting on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez because she's a woman. I am not. And in fact,
Take you at your word.
Let's shift topics
I'll take
now.
You at your word.
To something
I just never heard you bitching this way about Beto or anybody really.
Well, and
I've heard him bitch about Bernie Sanders, to be fair.
Yeah, it's true. Now let's talk about some women for president I do want to support. Chief among them, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, who right now is polling at 3% among Democratic primary voters. Yeah. My next pick would be California Senator Kamala Harris, who is polling at 4%. Anybody on, I'm going to read you a couple names, and then I want you guys to each tell me who you like. Joe Biden, he's in the lead right now among Democratic primary. Yeah, 30%. Bernie Sanders, who's not a Democrat, folks. He's a fucking independent. Nope. He's a Democrat of convenience, and he probably colluded with Russia as well to help take down Hillary, 14%. Congressman Beto O'Rourke, 9%. Cory Booker, 5%. For some reason, John Kerry, 4%. Eric Holder, Kirsten Gillibrand, who is a senator from New York, Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown, and a dark horse for me, somebody that I actually really, really like, is Washington Governor Jay Inslee. I don't know if anybody's seen him. Very, very progressive, really, really well-spoken out there and taking the fight long before some of the other Democrats were to the Trump administration. Anybody on that list of names or that I haven't read that you guys like for 2020?
You know, I like Beto.
I like Beto.
But he's going to get, right? He's going to get shit on for not having enough experience. I love Elizabeth Warren, but that's never happening. I'm afraid it's just not.
Really?
I like
Have you seen
Gillibrand.
Her crowds in Iowa?
It's not going to happen. She'll never win the nomination. I love her. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love her. She is my dream. But it's not going to happen. This Pocahontas stuff, believe it or not, that stuff when where she got the blood test, that's going to come back to haunt her. And she's just too, not radical for me and you and Mike. She's totally not radical. But for mainstream American voters, she's too far to the left on finances and all that shit, which is stupid, but it's true. Biden, I would love Biden, but I wish he'd just say, I'm only going to be there for 4 years. I'll run and then I'll step aside in 4 years. I wish he'd say that because he's going to be too old. I love Kirsten Gillibrand. I'd love to see her. Kamala Harris, I'd love her too. Not sure she has the experience and I think she too, for obvious reasons, is going to get shot out of the sky, which makes me angry. Because I love her as well. I love Corey. You know, there are a lot of good candidates. It's going to be a really interesting race. But really, they've really got to go with the person who is going to be able to put the boot to that orange monster.
Yeah. Mike, what about you?
Well, I think, first of all, regardless of who they pick, the entire Democratic Party needs to get behind them. Because, you know, this whole split that they have going, and this is where, again, I don't want to get into the argument, but, you know, you have... You know, our favorite new congressperson needs to, I don't care if she doesn't like the nominee, she's got to support them because this is a party versus party thing. I love Biden, and I think that Warren or Beto or Harris could be his VP. And like Leanne said, you know, let Biden do 4 years and then, you know, run the VP because that, even though Trump was elected with zero experience, the Republicans are going to hammer experience if they can. So run Biden, have, you know, the progressive as the VP and just let that VP run for president in 4 years against Christ, whoever the Repubs will run at that
point.
Probably Pence. Paul Ryan.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, whatever, right? But I would go a Biden-Beto ticket would work. Beto's from Texas, right? Biden-Warren
ticket. I also love Julian Castro. Having Julian Castro as a VP would be amazing, right? It would get the Hispanic, it would energize Hispanic voters. I love that guy. If Hillary had chosen him as her VP, if Hillary had chosen Julian Castro as her running mate, I honestly think that election might have gone differently.
They would have won. And when you get into office, put the other people into positions of power, right? Like give Secretary of State to someone like, you know, Elizabeth would be a great Secretary of State. Beto would be, you know, like just get them all in there.
Get your bench strength.
But get Biden. Yeah. I mean, Biden's the choice. He's obvious.
The only thing that they can't do is they can't have two white people on the ticket. I mean, they just can't. I was really disappointed.
Two white guys.
Yeah, they can't have two white people, I think. I mean, let's be honest. I would like to see, frankly, Elizabeth Warren on the bottom of the ticket or the top of the ticket, one or the other. I mean, preferably the other. The other name that keeps coming up is Amy Klobuchar, who is a senator from Minnesota. Yeah. I mean, I've seen her. She is impressive. I'm not too sure she has staying power, though. Like, really, like, she's not all that charismatic. You can make the case that Elizabeth Warren is maybe far to the left, but she's electrifying. When I listen to her out on the stump and when I hear her talk, and I love her. Like, she doesn't put up with shit.
You know, Trump has lowered the bar for that kind of shit, right? Like, maybe people won't care whether they're electrifying speakers. Remember how good Amy Klobuchar was when she was very calmly and intelligently questioning Brett Kavanaugh?
Yeah, that's true.
I think that could help her, right? She was smart and she was calm and she didn't let him get under her skin when he, you know, her father had been an alcoholic and he was like, well, when was the last time you had a drink, right? He was a dick and she stayed calm.
Yeah.
So, honestly, Trump may have lowered the bar for some of the stupid style issues that we were interested in for our candidates, right? Like, and now it's like, who gives a shit if that orange moron is in charge, passing out hamburgers? Maybe it doesn't matter. We just want somebody who's normal and intelligent, not a crook.
Yeah,
the Dems certainly could have a strong ticket, though, right? If Trump does continue with Pence as VP, which he might not, right? But if he does, can you imagine the debates? I mean, you'd have, let's say you have Biden and Beto, right? So you got Biden versus Trump in a presidential debate. Biden will destroy him. And then having someone like Beto take on Pence, it would be hilarious. I mean, they would tie it up, I think. It would be spectacular. Like, the energy of Beto versus, you know, whatever the hell species Mike Pence is trying to argue with him, like, it would be hilarious.
All right. Well, last comment from both of you until next week. But just right now, and I'm not going to hold you to it, who's going to be Leanne, you first, then Mike, then I'll say mine. But pick the Democratic ticket right now.
Biden and Beto.
Okay. Mike?
I'm going to say Biden, and I'll throw Beto because I like the ticket, even though my one thing against it would be is two white dudes. But Biden and Beto or Warren or, you know, Harris.
I'm going to say something maybe a little bit different. I think it's going to be Biden, Warren, or you might see something like Sherrod Brown Elizabeth Warren, because I think Sherrod Brown, he won by a lot in his reelect in Ohio when everything else went Republican. He won by, I think, 6 or 7 points in the 2018 Senate election there, a reelect when he wasn't expected to. And I think that we may just see somebody who can play in the Midwest in Sherrod Brown. He's got a pretty amazing wife, Connie Schultz, as well. Just be an interesting one to watch. But I think if I had to game it out today, I would say probably Biden Warren or Sherrod Brown Elizabeth Warren. And that is what I think. Anyway,
Beto and Cory Booker would be pretty cool too, but I would love to see a woman. Anyway, yeah, and about my woman thing, I'm sorry. It makes me hot under the collar. I didn't mean to suggest anything other than that I love you very much, Cameron, and your opinions matter to me, and I won't get mad at you again like that.
No, it's fine. I'm glad that you...
my shit. I actually started to sweat, like I was actually sweating.
Well, that's... But the thing is, I don't look it. I will fully admit, I did say to you guys in text that I thought Alexandra.
We're not starting this again.
Oh, no, I will admit, I did say that she should shut up and sit down. But I think that in a more nuanced way, Mike actually really expressed what it is. And that is, she needs to pick her battles, because otherwise she runs a risk of caricature. And right now she's rising above it, but it's not something that one can always rise above. And eventually she'll trip out. Look at Marco Rubio, once the great white hope, and then he sucks water in on a national television address, and he looks like a fool. I mean, that's
and you don't want her. You don't want people to tune out.
That's right.
You don't want people to tune out. I get what you're saying, but
peace in our time.
Okay.
Peace in our time.
Goodbye, everybody. Till next time.
Later.
Bye.